Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise,
It's 10 o'clock and time for us to make some history. Kind of. It's the pairing of two men, each with their own individual take on the Atlanta sports scene.
I'll take that.
For the next 4 hours, enjoy what we hope will be a great pairing of sports talk juggernauts. Well, that's what we're hoping for, at least.
Wow, you're handsome.
Durr.
Now, it's Andy and Randy. Andy Bunker.
I'm a first place individual.
And Randy McMichael.
You are that. You are that.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. My name's Andy Bunker. That's Randy McMichael. Happy Tuesday, and thank you for being with us. Wendy Adams and Brian Gebhardt producing the show today. Randy, how are you?
What's happening, brother? You doing all right this morning?
I'm doing okay.
Okay.
Doing okay. Been up a while today. It's an early morning for
early
me
morning.
Today.
It's been early morning for me, man. I woke up at 2 a.m.
What?
And went laid on the couch and just let TV watch me.
All right. You won that one.
Yeah, man.
You've been up much longer than me.
Yeah.
What happened? Why 2 a.m.?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I was just like up.
Just up?
Up.
You were watching the Lethal Weapon marathon, weren't you?
I made it all the way to 3.5.
You made it through all of 1.
Yeah.
All of 2.
Yeah.
And midway through 3.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You get any coffee or anything?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. I'm jacked up over here now.
Yeah. Don't worry about that.
Oh, yeah. When that crash comes later, oh, it's going to hit me hard. It's going to hit me hard.
Let's hope that happens at maybe what? You'll be home by 2:30, right?
Yeah.
Crash at 2:30, get a little nap in, something. You don't like the nap, though. You're not a nap guy.
No, I don't do that.
All right, the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line is open, 404-741-0929. You can find us on Twitter as well. I'm at TBM929, Randy at RandyMac81, Wendy at Wendy Radio, and Brian at Brian_Gebhardt because, well, he just wants to make you use an underscore. We're going to get to what's trending coming up in 20 minutes from right now. There's a lot going on today. Obviously, the Braves get back into action tonight against the Mets in not the biggest series in the world, but certainly a big series. Coming back home, playing one of your division rivals, and a team in the Mets that's won, 14 of their last 16 games?
They've been balling.
They've been hot.
I said it last week.
Yeah, they've been.
You didn't want to pay no attention to
them. Well, they were balling before that.
I mean, they've been beating up on teams they're supposed to beat up on.
They have been.
So, I mean, it's a big series for the Braves because of the fact that what you came off of your last series. You know, and you would like, because you're better than the Mets.
Right, that's a big part
of it.
You're
better than them. You're not going to see their two top dogs either. So you might as well go get you. I heard the morning show talking about 2 or 3. Just go get 3. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, Stroman's a fine pitcher.
Sweep them.
Why not?
Right. And we're going to get to how that can happen coming up more so at 10:40, but also in what's trending. Because Brian Gebhardt threw out a pretty interesting question last night in our show email about the unsung heroes of the Braves team and whether or not we're appreciating them. I think we are, because I don't know that there's any unsung heroes. I think everyone's a hero right now.
Yeah.
And I think if the Braves are going to continue to play the way that they have been playing, and what I mean by that is for like the whole season or since May 15th, not so much over the last month or so, because the last – really since Dansby went out, the Braves have been basically a 500 team. If the Braves are going to get back to being an above 500 team consistently and winning at about a 600 win percentage – there's going to be need some guys to be heroes, heroes. We need heroes.
To go back to the dance thing, we need answers. What's going on?
That's a part of it.
I mean, I'm serious because I mean we talked a couple of weeks. We're kind of worried about this. When he went on the 10-day, it's like, oh yeah, he'll be back. And then when he got close to when he got close for his time to be up, it was like, no, he's not ready yet. So I don't know what the problem is with that, but somebody else has to step up because it was Austin Riley. He was doing his thing. We were all in love. And then he fell off, and now Adam Duvall comes up. He gets his opportunity, and he was hot. Now he's back to normal. And
no,
now,
he's not. He's back to awful.
That's what I meant.
Okay.
But, I mean, and then you got that. You don't know. I mean, Brian McCann, you love his leadership, but how much can he give you? Because seems like he can't go every single day. Tyler Flowers, he is who he is.
There's one name very specifically, And we talked about him before the season and, oh, what are they doing with him? Why are they bringing in Johan Camargo? Yeah. And I know it hasn't been the season that he wanted by any stretch of the imagination.
You're getting your shot now.
We need him.
You're getting your shot
we
now.
We need him now because he's going to play every single day. And if you go back and look at what he did last year in the final 40 games of the season, he was fantastic. We got 41 games left this year. Johan Camargo's got to show up.
Yes.
If this offense has any chance of being anywhere near where they've been for the last couple of months. Because right now you got a great 1-4. But 5-9.
Somebody got to step up.
Somebody's got to step up. So we'll get back to that a little bit more later on in the hour. Take a look ahead to the series against the Mets. The Hawks schedule came out yesterday. We'll get into that in about 15 minutes as well. But a lot going on with the Falcons as we get closer on Thursday to preseason game number 3. Jason Butt from The Athletic is going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour, so quite a ways from now. But we'll talk to Jason a little bit later because he had a good article yesterday just detailing all the things that he's learned, all the little nuggets that he's been able to compile from Falcons practice and training camp so far. And one of them was some of what Dan Quinn had to say about Devontae Freeman yesterday. Let me let you hear what he said about Devontae first, and then I'm going to ask you a question about Free. Here's Dan Quinn from yesterday.
One, he's had an outstanding offseason, and the energy that he brought back starting from OTAs, he is a stronger man than he was prior to his injury. And you've heard, you know, people say, can you come back stronger from an injury? I think this is one of those cases that the answer is yes. He's more violent in his cuts because of that strength. His mindset, determination is completely on point. So,
yeah, all high compliments for Devontae. Stronger. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of that. I mean, we'll see when he gets on the field. But my question to you, Randy, is are we being realistic with what we're expecting of Devontae Freeman this year? And I guess maybe start with what are we expecting from Devontae this year? Because in those comments there and in every conversation that you and I have had, I mean, after Matt Ryan, I mean, he's about as important as it gets for this offense to actually function this season.
I think it's realistic because I said this when a couple months ago we were talking about it, and I told him, I said, I'm going to go to limb. I think he's going to be fine. I do. But the one thing is it's always been about his health. And yeah, he's stronger. Yeah, he's all this. He's quick. He's energetic. He does all that. He runs hard, but it's still a small back that runs like a big back. And when you have a back like that, there's always, risk in it, but at the same time, you can't. This is how he got here where he is. This is how he got to the league by playing the way he plays. So I know that Warwick Dunn came in and talked to him and everything, but I mean, you just can't change what he does. That's how he is. And that energy and that fight is what made him, one of the better backs in all of football.
Yeah. Well, and what Dan Quinn's saying there, it doesn't sound like anything's going to change.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't sound like the conversation you have about a guy who's going to be, he's going to maybe go out of bounds. He's going to avoid a hit. He's not going to try to pick up that last yard. When you say Devontae Freeman is stronger, to me you're hinting at Devontae Freeman is going to be the exact same guy that he's been,
right?
Or maybe even more. Like, talking about running violently, okay, and look, I know that that's what makes Devontae great.
Right.
But if we're asking Devontae to be a bell cow workhorse running back this season.
Well, bell cow. I mean, the most carries he had he had 264 carries, mm-hmm. followed that up by 227 carries. So I think he'll be somewhere in the 220s probably.
Okay.
But, his biggest thing is, get him to 1,100 yards or right at over 1,000. But what Devontae does more is when he's catching the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah.
When he's that check down.
My magic number is 250 as far as catches and rushes combined. That's my number. Between the catches that he's going to have and the rushing attempts that he's going to have. And you don't think that he can?
I think he should get more.
Oh, more than that. 80? Okay.
We're
talking about a bell cow.
If you're talking about 275, it's just as far as all around touches, that could be with 225 rushes, 50 receptions. That's where he needs to be for this offense to be good.
And I would love that.
Yeah.
And again, if Devontae Freeman has 275 touches by the end of the season and just averages like a reasonable average on those touches, 4.5, 5 yards per carry?
Yeah.
He's going to average 6 or 7 yards per reception, maybe even more than that. Who knows?
And he'll give you double-digit touchdowns.
Yeah. Then he's going to have 1,200 to 1,500 total yards for the season, and the offense is going to be fantastic. My question, again, I'm just asking, is that realistic? Because
I think it is.
Okay.
Yes, I do. I think it is. And here's why. It has to be, right? When you look at the depth at the running back position for the Atlanta Falcons, it's not there. Well, it's there. It's just unproven depth.
And that's why that's what is sort of a little bit, I don't know if it's a red flag, but that's what has my my eyebrows raised a little bit when I hear Dan Quinn talk about the depth, because
he's excited about it.
He is excited about it. Oh, we in fact have Dan Quinn talking about the depth.
I like the versatility of the group, you know, the inside the tackle stuff with Brian and Quadri, the, you know, out on the perimeter stuff, you know, where Kenyon can get going and Ito can get going. So I like what the balance looks like from those guys.
To me, it's kind of about hope versus belief.
Yeah, I mean,
you hope Devontae Freeman can do that. But if you're going to keep, because one of the things, and we'll talk to Jason Budd about this later, is the idea that the Falcons would keep five running backs. If you're keeping five running backs, that to me doesn't say you necessarily believe that Devontae Freeman can do what you hope that he can do. You hope he can.
I mean, you're listing them as running backs, but if Varner makes it, he's not going to care about that much.
Okay.
I mean, and got a chance to talk to Dave Archer the first day of a training camp up there, and was like, what do you think is going to be changed and everything? And they're still going to be a zone guy, but Devontae's more of an inside zone runner and not necessarily wants to run that outside zone. I don't think you'll see as much as that. The one thing that he does is that he makes you respect the whole play. He makes you respect the play until the whistle is blown because of his cutback ability, his ability to make people miss in a phone booth. And that's what you missed a whole lot last year from that running game. And they need that running game because you got to stay balanced. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know Matt Ryan's going to go 43 to 4,400 yards. I mean, that's a minimum. He's going to give you 30 touchdown passes at least. He's going to be single-digit interceptions. Mm-hmm. You know what you're going to get from him. Julio's going to have close to 100 receptions, maybe 1,400 yards, 8 touchdowns. You know what everybody's going to get. You just don't know with Free.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I say he's the biggest X factor because of, one, he gives you another weapon, and two, he's a damn good football
player. Right, that's it. Like, it's nice to have another weapon. We're talking about a Pro Bowl weapon.
Yeah, he's
like,
a damn good football player.
A double-digit touchdown in the season type weapon. Yeah. And again, all that other stuff, I mean, I don't even know, you can pencil it in. You could write it in ink. Matt Ryan's going to have 4,500 yards, 30 touchdowns at least.
At least.
All that other Julio stuff you said. Calvin Ridley, I think you feel pretty good about. Mohamed Sanu. Like, all that stuff is just kind of going to happen. It happened last year with a bad offensive line and no running game. And I could see how, from maybe a 10,000-foot view, if you're just looking at the Falcons trying to forecast what their season is, not as close to it as we are, you say, all right, Free's back. Dan Quinn's saying all this nice stuff about him. Tevin Coleman's gone. The guys behind him are unproven. Devontae's going to slide right back into that spot, and he's going to get the ball all these times, and he's going to be the main running back that they have. And mm-hmm. I think that's what they want.
Yes.
And that's what I want.
Yeah.
But what I like about what Dan Quinn is doing, and this is sort of like we talk about Dan Quinn evolving as a coach. Well, the one thing that I've been critical of Dan Quinn about consistently is he tends to be a best-case scenario planner
mm-hmm.
rather than a worst-case scenario planner.
Yeah.
And if he's got five running backs on the 53-man roster, that's a contingency plan. I like that.
But he also said he wants to keep seven wide receivers. So, I mean, right now.
You can't do both.
You can't
do both.
Exactly.
You can't do both.
And then if you're talking about keeping the fullback, that's six guys in the room.
Yeah, I think that's all. Everything we're saying about seven wide receivers and five running backs is bad news for Ricky Ortiz.
Yeah, that's bad news. But
hard to imagine.
But, you know, the one thing that he's banking on is that Stocker can't play that F position.
Yeah.
Because if he can play it and master it, oh, yeah.
Did you do that? You did that a little bit, right?
Yeah, that's what I was. I was the F tight end.
It's not easy.
Oh, no. It's rough.
All right, we'll come back and get to what's trending. We'll let you hear a little bit more from Dan Quinn, as well as what Brad Guzan is talking about here.
You know, we're probably a bit spoiled.
Probably are a little bit spoiled. We'll find out exactly why he would say that coming up next. I'm spoiled. Tate Martell's spoiled, too. Right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Made a trade today to send Eric Saubert to New England. Certainly wish him well, and certainly someone that's regarded around here as a great teammate for me and from others. But at the end of it, we always know it comes down to the battles at different roster spots, at different places, and that's what this time of year, you know, is about, and finding ways to address, you know, things on the team that you can do.
Yeah, that was Dan Quinn yesterday speaking on. We had already known that Eric Saubert had been traded to the New England Patriots, speaking on it. And, yeah, you know, everybody liked him, but just didn't quite have a role on the team. You know what I'm reading right now, Randy?
Tell me.
He's going to wear number 48 with the Patriots.
All right. Well, I mean.
Just read that on Twitter.
Okay. But, no, I mean, the role, whatever. I mean, he did develop. He's a project when they drafted
him,
and he didn't develop. And they tried to find ways to get him the football, and he just didn't live up to it. But my thing is, it's always funny when they go to New England and they find a way to use them. And that's the thing about it is, Bill, if he makes the team, which I don't think he will, Bill will find a specific role for him. Here, you run seam routes really good. You know what? You're going to run seam routes all day. I don't want you blocking nobody. I don't want you doing that. I want you to run seam route because the dude's an athlete.
It'll be that one game or two games a year where they come up against a defense that doesn't defend that well.
And then he'll play. Eric
Sauber scores two touchdowns.
Yep, and he'll be in there. So, I mean, the thing with him is he just never got the toughness part down to it, the toughness aspect of football. But, I wish him well. I do. I mean, I thought he was a great athlete. I mean, when I was out there at practice, I saw him run. I'm like, this dude can move. Mm-hmm. But it's more to it than that.
Yeah. And, you know, with Malarkey coming in now, too. Now, maybe that you thought that might help Eric Sauber with his tight end.
Right.
Maybe it's the tight end coach, but with his background with that position and all of that. Ultimately, it did not.
And so they like Jaden Graham, too.
I guess Malarkey didn't like what he saw.
They like Jaden Graham also.
Yeah.
They like him. That young man is showing some flashes. My thing is he good enough to overtake Paulson? Because the thing with it is you need a blocking tight end, and Paulson is a blocking tight end. Stocker can handle that role, but you might want to use him as a different role. So it's going to be a different dynamic in the tight end room.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what that looks like on Thursday night, too. Get a chance to see a little bit more of Jaden Graham. Obviously, you know the three of those guys are going to make the team. At least I think you do. Logan Paulson and obviously Austin Hooper. You think that those are – and Luke Stocker, those are going to be the three tight ends that are on the roster. But it'll be fun to watch Jaden Graham on Thursday night. Lots of stuff to watch on Thursday night. We'll continue to detail those as the week goes on. All right, let's get into some of what the Braves have going on this week. The Mets are in town. And, look, Brian Snicker says it's good to be home.
This is a tough road trip. I mean, you go into Minnesota and, you know, even here. You know, these guys got swept in New York and came in, and they were hungry too. I mean, that's a – like I say, it's not a club you take lightly. I mean, it'll be good for the guys to get home, wake up with their families.
And just have a day off.
Yeah.
I mean, they had played so many games in a row. The Braves get yesterday off, get a chance to relax a little bit, and take on the Mets tonight, who are definitely hot.
They are.
14-2 in their last 16. Many of those wins coming up against, subpar teams. But nonetheless, you win 14-16 in baseball. That's impressive. We'll see how they do against the Braves. I'm not convinced at all by what the Mets have done in the last 3 weeks.
And here's the thing, and I heard J.C., Josh Uecker, he said it perfectly, dude. Every NL East team that was hot came to play the Braves, and the Braves put foots in them.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. So it's going to be a different type series because of the fact that your guys aren't here. You know what I'm saying? The Braves, all your guys aren't here. And that's the most frustrating thing. You still don't know what's going to happen with this bullpen. Who's going to be the guy today if they're in a one-run and they're in the ninth inning or something like that?
Who is it going to be today?
I don't know.
Guess.
I mean,
because we did the poll question yesterday, and the poll voters wanted Shane Green.
I think it's going to be him today. I think Shane Green will be there, but who knows? He might throw 7-7 back out there. But I think you're going to get
Jackson.
You're going to get Zach Wheeler today. He's going to get Max Fried, and hopefully Max can keep it in the park.
Yeah.
And these guys can find a way. But like you said it earlier, somebody else got to step up.
That's right.
I'm talking about five through nine in that batting order. Somebody has got to step up and be that consistent. Andrew's been giving you a little bit lately,
but
I mean a little bit.
Yeah.
But still, you got to find somebody else.
We'll get into that more in 15 minutes, who that person needs to be or people need to be, because whenever the Braves have needed it this year, they've gotten it. It was Austin Riley earlier in the year when Andrew got hurt. It was Adam Duvall for a brief shooting star of a moment when Austin Riley went and was ice cold. Who's it going to be next? Because it needs to be somebody. Now, as for the injuries, we don't know what's going on with Austin Riley yet. He met with Dr. James Andrews yesterday. I haven't read anywhere what the details of that meeting were, whether or not he's going to have to get surgery, how long he's going to be out. Maybe he's going to be back. Austin Riley said, you know, with his knee injury, he slept on it, came back and felt 100% better the next day.
There we go.
And they still wanted him to see James Andrews yesterday, and he did. So hopefully we find out at some point today what came of that meeting. As for Dansby, we know
what the
nothing.
Hell's going on.
We know absolutely nothing. And I would have to guess that Brian Snitker will be asked about that today.
I'm sure.
We're not going to be able to catch up with Joe Patrick today. We'll talk to him on Thursday, but we'll keep an eye on what goes on with Dansby too, because I mean, it should have never taken this long in the first place based on what we knew.
Because it was a day off. Remember that.
Right.
It was a day. It started off as a day off. And I don't know what's going on with the but I mean, anytime you have lower leg injuries, they can be tricky. And
sure,
a lot of times it might not respond to the treatment or the rehab that was first prescribed when you had that original injury. So, but they need his bat. They need his glove especially. But I mean, you got to find a way to get this guy healthy, because it ain't no longer it's a whole lot of games left. You know what I'm saying? It's a whole lot of season left.
41 games.
You got to get going right now. This is where you make your move. This is where you solidify your dominance in an NL East.
You know how many games Dansby's missed already?
How many?
Just guess.
16?
That's exactly right.
Really?
He's missed 16 games.
Damn.
They're 9-7 in those games, and you know, we can count the number of times that there's been plays at shortstop where it's like, oh, Dansby probably would have made that play. Dansby very likely would have made that play. He certainly would be hitting better than Johan Camargo is hitting right now. 41 games left. There's not a chance Dansby doesn't come back, is there?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. They're not leaking any information. I think if we knew more, this kind of reminds me of the whole Andrew Luck thing. Like, what's
right.
really wrong with them?
It does feel like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, what's really wrong with them? And so, and they're not giving, and I mean, you expect that from organizations, because they probably don't know what the hell's wrong
right.
with
right, well, they don't have any obligation to tell us.
You know what I'm saying?
You just sit here and wonder.
Yeah, all so, right. I mean, you just don't know.
Come on, Dansby.
Dansby!
We need you. People at the beginning of the year saying it might be it for Dansby if he doesn't show up this year. Well, we showed up so much, now we need him.
We need him bad.
All right, let's keep it moving on what's trending.
You know, we're probably a bit spoiled. The ball goes in the box and you just expect him to pop up and score from whatever angle, however difficult the pass is, the ball is.
That was Brad Guzan not saying the fans are spoiled, like Frank DeBoer said earlier this year, which I think is absolutely true.
Okay.
He is saying that, well, teammates and fans alike are spoiled with Joseph Martinez. Whenever he touches the ball anywhere near the goal, we expect it to be in the back of the net
mm-hmm.
because that's how ridiculously good Joseph Martinez
exactly.
has been over the last 3 years.
I expect it every time I see a cross coming in.
Me too.
And I see him there. Yeah, I expect him to make that play. Now, of course, we know it won't happen all the time. And he had franchise record most shots on goal the other day. He missed a lot of shots, but I mean, it's just the opportunity that when that ball's in the air, he's going to give you a fighting chance, because he's a pit bull, man. He's a pit bull in that box. And again, do we call it monster? What did we decide we were going to call
Joseph.
It? Joseph. We call it Joseph. Yeah, he Joseph, old boy. And then you saw the clip, like damn, that killed him.
Yeah. There's that meme of the guy on the ground,
yeah.
Joseph scoring the goal, and yeah, another one in the back of the net. How many games in a row can Joseph go? Now he's got 10. That's the new record.
Okay.
How many do you want to make it?
He's going to get another one.
11?
Yeah.
15?
I mean, he just a score.
100?
Come on, man.
I don't know, but it's a lot.
Come on, man.
He's going to keep going.
I think he's
going
to get at least 3 more in a row.
Because it doesn't.
At least.
We're just talking MLS games, right? Like,
yeah.
It doesn't matter if he scores in the Campione. He's probably not even going to play in the Campione.
I doubt he plays.
Come on, I wouldn't play him. Not,
yeah.
It's not worth it. But I'd like him on Sunday out there in Portland, where they haven't won on the road in 2 months. Miles Robinson says nobody wants to play him here, though.
I mean, we're aware of what we're about to face, and it's obviously a good side, but I think this is a time that you wouldn't want to face us at home.
He's right.
You're right.
He's absolutely right.
But the other thing is, we don't want them to face them on. We don't want them to go on the road either, because
yeah.
they have been not good, Andy.
But that's good though, because there's plenty of time left in the season to try to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
And try to figure that one out. And look, I don't know that there's any other tougher road
atmosphere.
I got
to figure it out. Play better. How about that? How about that? It's a simple solution.
Brilliant.
Play better.
That is brilliant.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're going to, I mean, you're going to figure it out. Going on the road to Portland's a long ways away.
Yeah, it is, man.
That's all the way out there in the Pacific Northwest.
That's where you're from, Andy.
It is.
Okay.
It is around. You know, I'm going there on Saturday myself, but not to Portland, though.
Oh.
I'm just a little further up north than that. But it's a long ways away, and it's a long travel day, and it's a hostile environment there
yes,
in Portland.
Is.
It's a very good home environment for them. So if they can go out there and get a win, I think that goes a long way to say maybe they're dealing with that problem. All right, one last story here on What's Trending. The Hawks schedule came out yesterday, and this is Trey Young from a couple weeks ago.
A lot of goals that I have, mainly they're all team goals. For me, I just want to focus on winning. Everything else will fall in line. But I know if I play well, if I don't turn the ball over as much, the way I basically ended the season, if I play that way to start it off, yeah, I'll be able to help my team.
He's absolutely correct.
He is.
He's absolutely correct. But, again, we were thinking about breaking down the whole schedule today for you guys, but Wendy talked us out of it. We didn't think y'all really want to hear 82,
all 82,
82
games.
And we know Tate wants to hear, but we don't think the listeners want to hear it.
Loss.
Yeah.
Loss. Win.
Yeah,
win,
I don't think they want to hear
loss.
It.
Loss. Now, I'll break this down for you. The disrespect.
Of what?
Two national TV games.
They got one last year.
<That's true.
laughs> Wasn't that on NBA TV?
No, they got one ESPN game.
Oh, they had an ESPN game.
Yeah, because it was Trey and Luka on ESPN.
Oh, okay, that's what it was.
Early in the season.
It was early in the season, right.
Yeah, and Trey scored like 15 points in the fourth quarter.
Well, at least you'll get some TNT love, maybe, all right?
Maybe.
Maybe.
They're both really early in the season.
Yeah, they
now,
are.
there is a chance they could get flexed into some of these games later on in the year.
Like an ABC Sunday afternoon game or something?
Pump your brakes. I don't think that's going to happen this season. But maybe you get that random TNT game.
On a Wednesday.
In the middle of November. Or no, it's not November. In the middle of March when they want to have the Hawks and there's some sort of rivalry. I don't know. They could get more national TV games.
Let's hope. Hey, fantasy football players, we invite you to join us at 929 The Game's Fantasy Football Summit at Twin Peaks Buckhead on Saturday, August 24th from noon to 3. Get expert advice with the panel discussion, mock draft, and Q&A with Yahoo Sports' Brad Evans, Brian Baldinger of the NFL Network, and Fantasy Football Live's own Liz Loza. Get the insider scoop on fantasy football before the draft on Saturday, August 24th. From noon to 3 at Twin Peaks of Buckhead. For more information, go to 929thegame.com.
41 games left for the Braves. Starts tonight against the Mets at home. There's some injury problems, but there's a couple guys that need to step up as well. We'll tell you who exactly they are coming up next on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Your new 92.9 The Game Midday Show host.
Middays with Andy and Randy. Starring Randy Montez McMichael as
Luke Jackson.
And my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
Andy Randy!
Andy Randy!
Andy Randy!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Some sign language going on in the studio right now between Randy and Brian Gebhardt. You are number one, Brian. You're number one in Randy's heart. If you want to see any and all of this, you can watch the show on watch929thegame.com. Deshaun Tate pushing all the right buttons over there on the TriCaster. We'll get to the NFL No Huddle coming up in 20 minutes, top of the 11 o'clock hour. There's some interesting breaking news today. I don't know. I mean, it's breaking kind of, but it's mostly just people doing weird stuff.
Yeah.
Colts owner Jim Irsay just being Jim Irsay over and over again. Antonio Brown... put it out on Twitter. If you can help Antonio Brown out right now, you can probably make yourself a lot of money. So we'll get to all that and more coming up top of the 11 o'clock hour. Also, want to get into this Braves unsung hero slash who needs to be the next hero in a minute. But I got to ask you this, Randy, because you bought us these Mike Foltynewicz wristbands yesterday, the little Mike Folty bracelets that say don't be a little blank. And we're all wearing them. Are you guys are still wearing your bracelets, right? You're wearing them around? Okay. Did you do anything in public yesterday?
I went to the grocery store.
Did anybody notice your bracelet?
Yes.
Did anybody say anything about it?
No.
How do you know they noticed?
She laughed.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, there was a lady at the checkout line.
Okay.
Yeah, she laughed.
I went and got a haircut, but I was sitting there in the
You do look different.
Yeah, cleaned up on the sides a little bit, faded the beard in, to go home.
Yeah, you're going to see mama. You got to have that hair looking right.
Exactly right. So I sat down in the barber chair yesterday, and the barber was like, hang on. What does that say on it? And I was like, yeah, it says don't be a little blank. He's like, oh, that's good advice. And then he asked me the same thing that everyone's been asking Wendy every time she posts it. Where do I get one? Like, everybody wants to get their hands on these things. And look, I think that you should. So the link is on Twitter? On Wendy's Twitter.
Yes.
Okay, and on Instagram. You can find it at Wendy Radio, either on Twitter or on Instagram, if you want to be a part of Team Don't Be a Little Blank.
Yep.
Because we're all in support of Mike Foltynewicz. And hoping that Mike Foltynewicz can...
And Folty liked it also.
Folty liked it, yeah. Yes, he responded to Wendy on Instagram. He liked it. He saw we were all wearing them yesterday. And hopefully he can heed the advice of the bracelet. And look, maybe Folty can be one of these guys that we're asking about right now, Randy, because he hasn't been here at all. Like, he hasn't been on the team for the last month and a half. And when he was before that, he wasn't doing very well. Now, his last two starts have been okay. He needs to be better.
Yeah, it could be better, but, I mean, this is what you want to see, because it seems like he has maybe figured out his issue, because we know his issue was never talent. You know, I mean, we know he's hurting everything. He's trying to battle back from that, but we all, as well documented, it's been between his ears, and hopefully he has worked those kinks out. But, I mean, there's certain guys that you're going to need down the stretch. I mean, you're going to need a healthy Dansby, but you're going to need somebody else in left field to do something. Somebody. I don't know who it's going to be. Somebody's got to do something. Somebody's got to give you a consistent presence from that spot. And you need Folty to be better. And I hope that he's going to be better. I hope that he's going to continue to improve and get better. But you just don't know.
Because it seems like at every time this season the Braves have needed someone, even if it's someone that you didn't expect, they've showed up.
Yep.
Austin Riley. I mean, he got called up, and I know you weren't surprised by what he did, but I was pretty surprised by what he did when he came up for the 45-game stretch where he was amazing and hit a home run basically every three games and was outstanding. Then the league caught up to him and figured him out, and he went into a slump and then unfortunately hurt his knee. So we don't know when Austin Riley's coming back, but I don't think you can really count on that right now.
Nope.
But when he went down and he was not playing well, here comes Adam Duvall.
And he was
great for
a
week.
Yes, he was.
And at the beginning of the year, when Mike Foltynewicz was a disaster, when he was hurt and then came back and wasn't very good, when you had to send Newcomb down to the minor leagues, when you couldn't count on Kevin Gausman, well, Mike Soroka and Max Fried showed up at the beginning of the year and steadied the rotation in a way that you absolutely needed. You need guys to do that right now because again, things are good. And I think it's important to say this when we enter into any Braves conversation, because I think a lot of times people jump into these things and it sounds like doomsday.
Right.
You got a six-game lead.
Six and a half. Is it six?
Yeah, the Nationals won.
Oh,
yesterday.
They did win yourself. Okay.
So you got a six-game lead in the NL East, and your destiny is in your hands.
It is.
You have control of what's going to happen for the remainder of the season in these 41 games. That said, there are issues right now, and you're going to, with Dansby, question mark, don't know when he's going to come back. Same thing with Austin Riley. The bullpen being the disaster that it is right now, I point to two guys, and you mentioned one of them already. It's Folty. We need Folty to be consistently good.
Like, yeah.
I don't know if I need him to be great, but he can't be average and he can't be bad. I need Folty to be good every 5 days.
He can't be bad.
He can't be bad.
He cannot be bad.
And I need Johan Camargo to show up.
Yes.
Because, like, I guess we've just given him a pass.
Why?
Because so many other guys have been good this year.
But
Josh Donaldson took his job and has been amazing. And then you thought Johan would maybe be a utility guy, and you hadn't really needed it for a lot of the season.
You're playing guys.
Exactly.
You know, he's not giving guys breaks.
And guys have not let him take their starts. Because when Dansby was healthy, Dansby needed to be out there every day. Same thing with Ozzie. Same thing with Austin Riley in left field. Sorry. Like, Johan Camargo was on the bench collecting dust because everybody was playing well. Well, now guys are hurt. And I don't know whether Johan Camargo took it personally that he wasn't featured as much as he thought he was going to be.
I think he did.
Okay. Now it's time to get over that. Because you're going to play every single day. And unfortunately, the first, 12 or 13 days he played when Dansby got hurt,
it wasn't good.
He was also a disaster.
Yes.
So if the Braves are going to keep this up and win the division and win a playoff series, and again, question mark with Dansby, Johan Camargo is going to have to be a part of it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with him is that, you know, we were all saying, well, you got to find a way to get Camargo some at bats. You got to find a way to get him in the game. Well, he's found his way in there now, and he's got to definitely step up and do his thing. And I think he's capable of doing it. The position versatility that he has, he can play at the infield, he can play in the outfield, but. You know, he's got to be more reliable. He's had some issues at the shortstop position, turning double plays, ball slipping out of his hand, ball slipping out of his glove. You know, can't quite make that long throw to Freddie.
Right.
I mean, you've got to find a way to get some production from somebody, either him, Charlie Clutch. I mean, Duvall. I mean, somebody has got to find a way to, I mean, not necessarily make it as long as it was all the way through eight, but at least through six.
Yeah, at least through six.
Yeah, at least through six.
Because right now your lineup is four.
Yeah.
And then you hope Brian McCann has a good game, or you hope Ender Inciarte has a good game, or you hope Johan Camargo or whoever. But 5, 6, 7, 8, and then the pitcher is tough right now. And here, is it reasonable to ask Ender Inciarte to be who Ender Inciarte was last year in the final 41 games of the season? He got 41 games left. I went and looked it up last night.
All right.
The final 41 games of the year last year, Ender Inciarte hit .297.
Okay.
He had 6 home runs, 10 doubles, and 46 hits with 24 RBIs. Right, that's really good.
That's really good. Tell me this, and I'll go back to our Devontae Freeman conversation. Is it hope or is it, you know, reality?
It's hope.
Yeah. I mean, I don't
but
know.
But you've seen it.
But that's the thing about it. Just because you've seen
it's somebody reasonable
do,
hope.
You've seen people do stuff from year to year, and everybody likes to always – because that's what when we talk about Pit Dead, we don't want to hear the South America, we don't want to hear that no more. We don't want to hear what you've done before. What can you do for us right now?
Yeah.
And Ender, I mean, can you put him in that unsung hero category?
Ender?
Because he seems like he has, like, it will be fitting for him to be in there. You know what I'm saying? Because of that. It seems like he would be one of those guys that to go along with the three names we have right here. It would have to be Ender, right? Because right now, who do you trust more, Ender or Adam Duvall?
Ender.
All right. Who do you trust more, Ender or Camargo?
Man, I guess right now, Ender.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he should be a part of that category that we're talking about right now. It's just the fact that we don't know.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Randy, but today is supposed to be the hottest heat index of the entire summer.
And that's when he heats up, baby.
Ender and Ciarte.
Ender in the heat, man.
The weather gets going, and so does Ender. So hopefully that happens, because somebody's going to have to do it.
Yeah.
Or if they don't, if you're just a total desert void hoping one of these guys from 5 through 9 can do something on a nightly basis and counting on 1 through, because here's a good thing: Ronald Acuna is playing at the best level he's ever played at right now.
Correct.
Ozzie Albies is hitting the baseball beautifully. Freddie Freeman is Freddie Freeman, and Josh Donaldson is playing like MVP Josh Donaldson. So like, the back half of the lineup being bad is a problem, but at least your top four is one of the best top fours, if not the best top four in baseball. Here's what you're also going to need: that bullpen.
Yep.
That you went out and traded for and was supposed to be righted and fixed and
everything. Somebody got to step up.
It's got to be. Like, what happened last week, you got to forget about that.
We gave them a pass.
Okay.
We got a pass.
Okay, guys, there's your hall pass.
There's your hall pass right there.
Now come home against the Mets and figure it out.
You know what? Y'all guys are home. Maybe your families are here now. You know.
Yeah.
I mean,
Mark Melanson's staying with me.
Yeah, I forgot about
that. He's staying in the guest room.
I got him out there doing yard work. That's the problem. Y'all got them out there doing yard work.
Yeah, we're trying to build a patio. Bad idea to do that in the middle of August in Atlanta.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. Good exercise, though. Bikram yard work. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the NFL no huddle, including what it's called yardio,
no.
Including what Jim Irsay said about Andrew Luck.
Stalker Whitney. Wendy.
He just keeps on talking.
Stalker
we'll be
Wendy
right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.